Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he has written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Michael Shackelford is the force behind the websites Wizard of Odds, Wizard of Vegas, and Wizard of Macau. An actuary by profession, Michael has been analyzing the whole gamut of casino games since 1995. His Wizard of Odds website explains the best strategies for 140 different casino games. Michael is also the author of Gambling 102, The Best Strategies for All Casino Games, and is a former adjunct professor of gaming math at UNLV. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you will be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
I'm Mike Shackelford.
Our guest tonight is Ted Stratton, a recent law school graduate who, for several months recently, was living in Vegas off of free comps and free meals. I started in Vegas doing this 20 years ago. Gene Scott made a career out of getting things for free. We'll see how it's changed in 2013. We received an email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. It seems like an unnamed casino is doing a 50% loss rebate. That is, for a maximum, if you lose $1,000 today, you'll get back $500 tomorrow. Our emailer wants to know the best way to take advantage of this promotion, with a caveat that he really doesn't want to lose $500. This caveat is a showstopper. If $500 is too much to lose at once, and I know it is for many people, you simply cannot take advantage of this promotion. This is a lucrative promotion, but you have to be willing to lose in order to take advantage of it. In general, a loss rebate, you want to play a high variance game. So I considered $5, 9-6, double-double bonus video poker. This game, quads, return $1,250, $2,000, $4,000, $10,000, and the royal is $20,000. If you played this game until you either got $500 ahead or lost the $1,000, which will earn a maximum rebate tomorrow, in round numbers, you'll end up ahead 35% of the time, and you'll have a loss of $1,000 65% of the time. That doesn't sound too attractive until you realize that much of the time you were hitting the $2,000 quads or the $4,000 or the $10,000 or the $20,000 jackpots. So your average win is much, much bigger than your maximum loss. Overall, this is a very positive play. And by the way, I use the Video Poker for Winners software on the bankroll calculations to come up with those figures. Michael, how would you attack that promotion?
I absolutely agree with you. Variance is your friend with things like this. You either want to shoot the moon or go bust trying. If table games were allowed, I would consider putting the whole $1,000 on a single number in roulette. But it's paradoxical in that you don't get the benefit of the promotion unless you lose.
That's not true. If using your example of a $1,000 at roulette, mm-hmm. which your win would be $35,000 and your loss would be $500.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you win that $35,000, I think that's getting a lot of benefit out of this promotion, because you would not be doing this promotion if it weren't for this loss rebate, because that game has a 5.2% house edge. And so you wouldn't even be doing it if you're an intelligent gambler. But since you were doing it, then you made $35,000. I would see that's quite a bit of benefit.
Well, there's nothing untrue about that. I think this is a disagreement about semantics, but anybody could go up to a roulette table and bet $1,000 on a single number, and you don't need a promotion to do that. And when you win, the promotion didn't give you any additional money. My point is that whatever you do, you should have a high probability of losing, because that's where that, because you can only get the benefit of the promotion if you lose. But the other side of that coin is if there's a big percentage, high percentage of losing, if you win, you win a lot.
Okay, so I think this is semantics. Hopefully people on our show aren't going to be betting $1,000 on roulette without a significant promotion. Otherwise, what we talk about will make no sense at all to you. All right, so Shaq, I've heard you've been checking out little old ladies at bingo halls. What have you found out?
Yes, their favorite pickup line to use on me is that a dauber in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Uh-huh, and your answer is?
I just laugh and blush.
Tell us the truth. How many times have they said it, and is it a round number less than one?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I couldn't resist telling that old joke. Hopefully somebody in our listening audience hasn't heard it yet. But no, as I've mentioned on previous shows, I have been doing a great deal of bingo lately. I feel that after writing about gambling for 15 years, it's a little bit hard to uncover any new ground. But I do think that bingo is fertile territory. And so I've been playing it a lot, analyzing it a lot. And I know I haven't written that much about it yet. Be patient, I will. And as we go along on the show, I'd like to tell you a little bit about things that I learn as I go. And this week, I've been looking a lot lately at validating and cashball jackpots. And it's...
A cashball jackpot is what?
Thanks for asking. A cashball jackpot is at the beginning of any bingo session, they will pick a ball at random, say B15, and they will say, today, this session's cash ball is B15. They will put it back in the hopper and say, if anyone bingos on B15, they will get whatever this progressive jackpot is, which can run anywhere from usually $500 to $20,000. And but you must validate your card to qualify for this additional jackpot. The cost to validate is $1 a pack or $2 for a smaller large rainbow, which is a combination of packs. And this is a good value if the cash ball jackpot is high. I'm not exactly sure how high it needs to get for the validation itself to be a good bet, but I've been looking at the correlation between the size of the jackpot and the number of cards in play. And recently the Red Rock had a jackpot of over $19,000, and it really brought in a lot of players and a lot of cards. Basically, my conclusion is that big cash ball jackpots are bad because they induce too much competition, and while you have an advantage on the validation itself, you have a huge disadvantage on the cards themselves, which is where you're betting most of your money. So my general advice, and there may be exceptions, is to play when the cash ball jackpots are low and don't validate.
Now, when you're playing bingo, you can have a level one card, a level two, level three, level four.
Mm-hmm.
And usually most of the, this in general, is one of them better than the other?
Yes. The level one is the lowest, and level four is the highest. And the coast casinos use a color system going blue, red, green, and tan. So for most games, if you get the amount you win is multiplied by a certain factor according to the color of your card. However, lots of times with the last game, which is always a coverall game it's like the grand finale where there's a big prize. Lots of times you don't get the full value of that multiplier, or there may not be any multiplier at all. For example, the 9 o'clock session at the Red Rock and the Suncoast, they have a $2,500 coverall game, and the win is the same no matter what kind of card you have. So on those particular sessions, it doesn't pay to buy the premium card. You should just buy the lowest card, because the level one or the blue card, because that's where you're going to get the best value.
Good. So, Mike, why don't you introduce Ted Stratton to us?
Our guest this week is Ted Stratton. Ted is a recent law school graduate from Ohio who decided to come out to Las Vegas to look for work as an attorney. From previous play, he had several room offers and figured he could go from hotel to hotel while he interviewed for a job. I don't know if he was planning for this for it to last this long, but he did this for 3 or 4 months before he found full-time employment. During this time, Ted pretty much sponged off the city. He never paid for a hotel room. He never paid for a meal except for one. And he did this all on a pretty meager bankroll. And we're going to talk to Ted to find out how he did it. So, Ted, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Okay. I might also add that Ted is also a two-time Jeopardy champion, and we may ask him some questions about that later. And Ted goes by the handle Teddy S on my forum at wizardofvegas.com, and he's written lots of my hotel reviews. So, Ted, when you were doing all this play, what was your favorite game? What game gave you the best bang for your buck?
Well, I'd have to say the majority of my play, around 80%, was video poker. And I think there's no question about it that video poker is the best game for comps. And this day and age is just no better game. Some people would say blackjack, but it's just so hard to pull one over on the pit bosses now. And video poker still remains the best game to get an advantage.
So, now you graduated from law school in Ohio.
Yes.
So when you were here getting your comps, did you have an Ohio driver's license or a Nevada driver's license, and is that important?
It is important, and I think the first rule I would suggest for someone who's coming out here and trying to score comps is keep your out-of-state ID and always sign up for every player's card using that out-of-state address. Now, it helps if you have someone to forward you mail back in wherever you lived before. But if you don't have an out-of-state address, they're much more stingy with mailers and hotel rooms and other comps. So you really need to have that out-of-state address to get some of the freebies.
Very good. So which casinos did you find you were able to milk the most?
Well, I've been to every casino in Clark County, I think. And I remember when I first came out here, my first trip, I stayed at Terrible's and paid $20 a night. And that was the last time I ever paid for a room in Las Vegas, because every time I came back, they kept sending me stuff in the mail or online to, you know, four free nights, you know, just come stay with us. But I would say the most generous casino conglomerate is Boyd Gaming or Harrah's, now Caesars Entertainment. They've both provided me with the most over the years, just oodles and oodles of free stuff.
So how much play did you give, say you stayed at Gold Coast? Was that one of the casinos?
I play a lot of Gold Coast.
So how much play would you give them to keep these offers coming?
Well, first of all, I would only play at Gold Coast if they had a multiplier day. So if it was 5x points or 7x points, I would play pretty hard up to the, I think they allow you, 10,000 points in a day, so $10,000 coin in.
Yes.
So I would play that, and if it was just a normal, regular day and I had to give them some negative play, I would just do $2,000 or $3,000 coin in on, you know, jacks are better or not so ugly deuces. And that was enough to, you know, keep me in their good graces and keep the room offers coming and, you know, do the same thing at the other Boyd casinos, Suncoast, Fremont, downtown. And they all market, you know, they have their own marketing department, so you get comps from each one of them in turn. So, yeah, it actually takes surprisingly little play to keep the offers coming.
All right. So, by the way, I can absolutely agree with what you said about an out-of-state ID is all the locals complain about this is we get treated much more, the casinos are much more stingy with us than with tourists.
Well, actually, that varies from house to house.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten good at milking the local promotions at the casinos.
Mm-hmm.
And Gold Coast does all right there, as does South Point, as does Palms, as does the other places as well. So there are just different promotions.
I think it would be good if a player had an ID from Nevada and one from any other state, and presented whichever one was best according to the casino he's in, but I really regret surrendering my Maryland license when I moved here. But on to another topic. While you were doing this, I would say you were technically homeless, lugging around all your stuff in a suitcase from hotel to hotel. And I Ted is a writer on my site, and once in a while I have to pay him. And even though I knew he was here, I was sent checks to someplace in Ohio. So did you think of yourself as being homeless, and how did it feel?
Technically, I was homeless. That is true. It's funny to think that way. But
not roomless, but
not
homeless.
Not roomless. Never had to sleep under the 95 bridge near downtown. But, you know, never know where your next room is coming from. Never know where your next meal is coming from. I never had any problem getting that. But, you know, it's just being in that state is living a fantasy life, basically. I think... somebody took me out to lunch, and they made fun of me. They said I took a homeless guy out to lunch, and I bought him a meal. But it was fun while it lasted. But I'm living a regular life now.
When I first came to Vegas and was doing something like this, even though I knew I was going to be getting buffets every day somewhere, I would tend to eat at the buffets as though this is my last meal, and I would have to live off of this for the next 3 days. So the first several months you're doing this kind of thing in Vegas, it is typical to pick up 5 or 10 or 15 pounds. 'Cause sleep management is tough in Vegas, and calorie management is tough in Vegas. So did you have this problem, or if not, how did you avoid it?
I did have that problem, Bob. Eating at buffets is not a healthy lifestyle.
It can be very healthy.
It can be. So what you have to do is control yourself. So what I would do is I would go to the I really like the Stations Casinos buffets, especially their $5 breakfast, which is usually
You must not eat in a Palace Station recently.
Comped your points. Palace is not one of my favorites, but I like some of the others, Sunset and Santa Fe and Green Valley, but just load up the salad bar. Go in there, and they usually have a salad bar for breakfast. Just eat exclusively that. Don't go to the carving station or the dessert table.
Have them carving roast or turkey breasts is perfectly fine.
In the spectrum of things, it's not so bad for you. But
Are you a vegetarian?
I try to be.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Do you do it out of concern of the animals or for health reasons?
Health reasons. I don't like eating too much meat.
Okay, good for you. Now, I've heard that you've shared comps with both friends and strangers. If you don't mind tooting your own horn, tell us about these random acts of kindness you've been rumored to do.
Okay. I have so many comps, especially when I was playing. I remember I was doing a play at Binion's, and I just built up hundreds and hundreds of comps on my player's card there, and I would just get a meal from their deli or their snack bar and just bring it out and give it to the first homeless person that I saw. So if someone came up to me and said, give me some money, so I can get something to eat, I would just give him like a BLT sandwich, and usually they were very, very grateful. So that was one thing that I did, and another thing that
They never complained you had too much mustard on it or anything like that?
They say beggars can't be choosers, right?
Okay.
They're always happy to get what they could get. Also, when people come into town and they want advice on like where they should stay, where they should play, I usually will happily meet up with them and, buy them a meal and give them some advice. I met somebody from your forum, actually. You were talking about the loss rebates, so he was looking for information on that, and he found most of it on his own, but I gave him some tips. Last time I talked to him, he had hit two $10,000 jackpots, so he got the positive end of the variance. Good for him.
You're a good mensch.
Where did most of your information come from in order to successfully sponge off the casinos?
I'd say there's three main places that I went.
You better mention both our sites, by the way. But go ahead.
Okay. and I will proceed to do so right now. The first was Mike's site, the second was Bob's columns, and the third was...
It's the wrong order, by the way, but yes. Okay, go on.
The third was Gene's blog and Anthony Curtis's site. Also, VP3 too is an invaluable resource. I have to throw that in there. And that's really, that plus my own scouting is really all you need. I can't recommend them more highly.
Okay, so when you came here, what kind of bankroll did you have? And when you stopped, when you finally found work and stopped doing this, what was your bankroll at?
So I came with about a $4,000 to $5,000 bankroll and had a very, very good run of luck. Hit a lot of royals, ran it up to about $11,000 or $12,000. And when I get a big bankroll, that's kind of bad news for me because I start playing This Is Gambling with an Edge, and I tend to do gambling with not an edge. So I played a lot of craps with high odds multiples, had a pretty negative variance streak. So I'm, you know, back down to normal Joe level. I'm not playing currently, but trying to just grind at the 8-to-5 job and
okay,
see if I can live out here in Vegas.
Well, if we take luck out of the equation, could somebody else come here with $4,000 to $5,000 and who is as smart and hardworking as you and do what you did and basically not just live off the city for free, but maybe even grow the bankroll a bit?
I think it's absolutely possible.
I did.
It depends on how you manage your money. If you reinvest the cost of all those free hotels, free meals, gas cards, grocery cards, gift cards, you can definitely get an advantage, but it's so hard these days. The edges are so small that with that size of a bankroll, you're really just gambling, I would say, at those stakes. To get a long-term advantage would be very hard.
Okay.
I don't know if you would agree with that,
well,
Bob. Or...
Part of it is that, you know, I started with that size bankroll in 93. And became a millionaire out of it, but the edges were bigger then. I do think you can gain a significant edge, but it's hard work. The people who, I mean, there's an army of players who play quarter, full pay deuces, 30 hours a week. And this is, you know, and they're beating the system, and this is a $7 an hour job or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's hard work. You can be done. And I suppose the worst part of it is you get to put up with the other people who are doing the same job.
Not very lucrative either.
Okay. Ted, what does your mother think of this?
I love my parents very much. They've always been very cool with what I do with my life. I don't think they're not big gamblers, but they understand that, you know, it's something that I do as a hobby or as a vocation, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, they let me learn my own lessons, I guess you'd say, go my own way.
So when you're interviewing for jobs in Las Vegas, I would think a lot of employers would not be thrilled to know that you spend a lot of time in casinos, because that would imply that you're going to come into work really tired sometimes because you were all night in the casinos gambling. And if you get really lucky in the casino, you might quit this darn job anyway. It's like, so when you were interviewing for jobs, were you truthful about how much time you spent in casinos, or did you kind of fudge that a little bit?
Did not mention it at all. Well, first of all, I'm not playing right now. I'm focusing on my job. But when I went into work, I remember I had to give an address. I had to give a friend's address because I didn't really have an address at the time. And, you know, I was still riding the bus into work. I was taking the RTC. I didn't have the car. And I was staying at, I don't know, I think I was staying at the Tuscany the week I interviewed. So I couldn't well say, you know, like, I live at the Tuscany. But, yeah, you know, I didn't mention it and didn't think it needed to be mentioned. And, you know, nobody really cares.
Do they know now?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
Locals have a different attitude towards playing out here. If they know that you live out here and you play a lot, I think they automatically think you're a degenerate, which is a lot of people are, and you know,
it's yeah. The odds are,
yeah,
that you are.
Yeah.
Let's see. What was I going to? Oh yes. While you were doing this, you only paid for one meal, and I think that the members of my forum will know the story of this one meal. But can you tell us that story?
Actually, I think I need to correct some things about that story. I never paid for a meal with cash. I think you're referring to the time I went to a Heart Attack Grill with
yes.
Hot Blonde,
yes.
One of your forum members. She paid for that.
She
meal.
Did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a good time. I think we got the triple bypass burger, the lard fries, and the vodka syringe cocktail.
Uh-huh.
So that was to celebrate your weight loss goal.
Yes, this particular woman, there was about $9,000 or $7,000 in bets whether she could lose 90 pounds in 9 months, and she did it. And she came to Vegas to weigh in and collect her money. And right after that, she had a good meal with Ted at the Heart Attack Grill.
Yeah. That was the second dinner of the night, actually. We had just had dinner before that at Main Street Station. So it was a celebration.
Ah.
Oh.
Yes, it was.
Doesn't sound like a good way to keep that weight off. So Mike mentioned that you were on Jeopardy.
Yes.
So you won two times.
Yep.
That's two times more than I won, but I did get on the show, which is good.
Congratulations.
So I'm thinking when I was there, there's a lot of variance as to who your contestants, who your opponents are, and what the categories are. Do you concur with that?
I absolutely concur. There's a huge amount of variance involved once you get on the actual show. Like you said, first of all, whether you get strong or weak contestants against you, and we call it getting a good board, which means questions that are right in your wheelhouse. I remember my second game, I had a Final Jeopardy question, which was about Middle Eastern history, which I know a lot about. And
really?
Yep. And I nailed it. Nobody else got it right. And that is very good for me. And on the next game, the question was 17th century English poetry.
Oh, good.
I definitely did not know anything about. So I lost on that one. The other guy knew it. I didn't. And that's how I got knocked off.
Do you have any advice on how to get on the show in the first place, which I would love to do?
I would recommend, as far as I know, the best way is to go to one of their tryouts in L.A. in the studio, which they have pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how I got on. I did a satellite tryout they had in Cleveland. They do those occasionally. You have to keep a lookout on the website for what city they're going to be in at the time. But I think for most regular people, the best way is just make a trip down to L.A., go to the studio, take the test, and get yourself out there. I think that's how Ken Jennings got on, actually.
Is it a multiple choice test or fill in the blank? Or
mostly fill in the blank. There are occasional multiple choice, but it was mostly fill in. When I took the test, which is 30-some years ago, it may have changed since then, there were 50 questions, and they said at the time 15,000 people applied, and 400 people a year were selected. Now, I don't know what the current numbers are, but this is 15,000 people who think they can get on, and they select 400 of them. When I was applying, I had whole bunches of short-term memory stuff. I knew all the Academy Award winners in the top five categories since 1929. I knew all countries and their capitals. I knew all the vice presidents. I just had these lists of stuff that I had memorized. And I have no recollection of any of this. Of much of it now. So now I would not do well. But at the time, I was ready to go. So now, if I were competing with Ted, he would probably win 9 times out of 10 because he... he's much closer to his prime. Of course, if we did it back in 1980 when I was on and I competed against Ted, I would probably beat him 100 times out of 100 because he wasn't born yet. That, some people would think that would give me an unfair advantage, but but you take whatever you can get. So you need to watch the show a lot and get to know the kind of categories, and then you just got to study those things. You got to be better at it than other geniuses, basically.
I would also add that one of the things that contestant wranglers like to look for, once you pass the test, which is fairly easy to do, is they like a good hook. So they get a lot of teachers, lawyers, and writers on the show, and if you're a, you know, professional gambling consultant or a, you know, professional backgammon player, that's interesting. That's something that they want on the show. It also helps if you're from like an obscure area of the country, Las Vegas. I don't know if that would qualify, but certainly they like a geographic distribution as well.
If I ever get on, I'm going to bring up the fact that Alex Trebek used to host a game show called The Wizard of Odds.
That is true.
Do you have any advice about once you get on the show? I mean, once you're there, you can't really help. You know what you know. But I've heard that a great deal of your performance has to do with how good of a feel you have for the clicker. True or false?
True.
100% true.
There's been a lot said about the clicker and how good Ken Jennings was with it. He's the guy who won 55 games in a row. Yes, just so much depends on just having confidence that you'll know the question and clicking in before everyone else does. And that certainly takes some getting used to. I played quiz games in college where we used a buzzer. That gave me a big advantage. But they give you about 5 minutes to learn how to use the clicker at the beginning of the show, and then you're on your own. So it's pretty much learn as you go.
And how do you know when it's safe to click in?
Some lights behind the stage that'll light up, and as soon as the lights go on, you click it.
And is the light accurate?
No, it wasn't 30 years ago.
In my experience, it's tough to gauge when exactly you can click it.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody's manually doing it.
Yeah.
So, and they're supposed to turn on that light when Alex Trebek is saying the last syllable of the last word. He starts the last syllable of the last word is when they're supposed to hit the button.
Mm-hmm.
But it's manual. And so you're guessing.
And is it true that if you click in too early, you get locked out for a second or two?
Well, so, I think it's three seconds.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But it's forever.
But then how come you see people just clicking that thing like crazy if they're getting locked out for 3 seconds?
Well, they're clicking it like crazy, and that's why they get locked out. that's the last thing you want to do. You don't want to do the crazy click. You want to do one really well-timed click.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, not going to be useful to most people. You have to get on the show first. But, yeah.
Yeah, which is not as easy as you implied. I think it's pretty tough to get on the show. I was really proud of myself.
It is. It's an accomplishment.
I let 400 of my closest friends know that I was when I was on that show, and I only had 25 friends at the time. So, all right. So if people wanted to send you an email or ask your advice about staying free in hotel rooms or something like that, how would they get in touch with you?
I would say the best way to contact me would be through Michael's site, wizardofvegas.com. My alias on that site is Teddy S. That's T-E-D-D-Y-S, all one word. I think if you care enough to contact me, you can make the effort to go to his site and register and send me a private message. I read those fairly often, so it's a good way to get in touch with me.
And Teddy's a very active member on the site, so
yep.
I'm sure he'd be happy to answer you.
Yes, so I'm curious as to people who spend all their, what kind of life people don't have who spend all their time on these kind of sites. There are people on VP Free or videopoker.com or several other sites who just live on these sites forever.
Yeah, Teddy is not that bad.
He's not that bad.
No.
I'm not that bad. There's some couple people on this site. I think Mike knows who I talk about who really live on there, but, you know, it's a good forum. Most people are very civil, and, You know, it's a nice little self-selected community, so I enjoy going there.
Thanks.
Now, Michael asked earlier about you giving away your comps without telling where. Do you ever sell your comps?
Yeah, this is something I've just started doing, actually. Now that I have a place, I don't think I mentioned that, but I got a place 2 weeks ago. I actually am paying rent now, and I still have a bunch of comps. So I just sold one. I had one to the Cosmo that I sold to a forum member. I had one to the Fremont that I sold. But yeah, if you want a hotel room, everything's negotiable. Just get in touch with me, and I'll probably be able to hook you up.
And since that's your point of view, you probably should not have given your real name, given that casinos are very... they think it's immoral to sell the comp. It's not immoral to use the comp, but it is immoral to sell a comp.
Okay. Well, I hope none of them are listening, but if they are, I'll take the downside.
All right.
I don't think they'll do anything.
All right. We want to thank you very much. It was very informative.
Thank you.
All right. So, Michael, what did we learn tonight?
Yeah, I've never been in Teddy's shoes or the shoes you were, where I came here with not too much money and had to live off of that. I already had a decent income when I came here, but certainly learned a lot of tips about how to live here for free on a small bankroll.
Yeah, and that it's still possible.
Yes. Yes, a lot of people say that... video poker is close to being dead, but clearly both of the two of you are still having great success at it.
Well, the success I had 20 years ago is it was a lot different conditions than today. But and he's content at subsistence level.
Mm-hmm.
But good. All right. So let's talk about some our sponsors. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else. In January, earning 3,500 video poker points during the month entitles you to a free logo jacket. There'll be double points for video poker on Monday, January 21st, celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday. That's in about 4 days from now. You look for me on the Quick Quads machines. The next semester of free video poker classes will begin at South Point on Tuesday, February 5th at noon in the showroom. The exact schedule is posted on bobdancer.com. The new classes semester is 9-6 double-double bonus 10-play Ultimate X. That's going to be February 26th. This game returning more than 99.8%. It's the highest paying game at the South Point. And also the highest paying game at the Palms that includes access to all promotions. At the Palms, the Friday and Saturday night drawings in January called the $100,000 Avalanche of Cash. The time for the drawing in January is 8 o'clock, Friday and Saturday evenings, rather than the more normal 7 o'clock, which it had been earlier. 15 winners every night. The top five, in addition to winning cash, get a key to a car. The car, this up to 40 keys will be there on January 26th, and one of those keys will open a 2013 Chevrolet Avalanche, which is worth round numbers almost $40,000 or almost $32,000 if you take the cash equivalent. I have one key. I hope to get some more, but we shall see. The PEW, Play, Earn, and Win, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, has a theme of storage. So they are containers to store things in. It's called Stowage It Away. It includes $100 Visa card, which it takes 50,000 video poker points, so it is a rate of 0.2%. So it's almost double points. Good. Our third sponsor is videopoker.com. They have a free monthly contest at videopoker.com. It's going to be starting next Thursday, the 24th, going to the end of the month. They have not yet announced what the game will be. They have daily contests as well. As an example, tomorrow is big times. Saturday is double super times pay. And Sunday is 25 play super times pay. Our guest next week will be Angela. Do you want to talk about her or should I?
I can talk about her. Angela is the model that you see in all of my YouTube gambling videos. On YouTube, on my channel, I have about a dozen gambling advice videos where Angela is my student. And basically, I explain to her the rules of the games and strategy, and she asks me questions, and I answer them. And she's also seen in some of the photos on my site. So besides working for me, Angela was a former party pit dealer, and she used to be Tina in Tony and Tina's Wedding. And she's worked as a magician's assistant and done miscellaneous modeling. So we're going to talk about the various professions that she's been in here in Vegas.
Yeah. On this party pit blackjack dealers, Shaq and I have different points of view as to how much to tip these women. Shaq believes they're hardworking and should be tipped well. I'm in the casino to make money. And just because the women are pretty and have invested in boob jobs, there's no reason to give them my money. Especially since, in general, the rules of the party pit are worse than they are elsewhere in the casino. And if I'm sitting there thinking with my hormones, I'm not making the best plays. So, now, I suppose the use of double entendres when speaking about party pit dealers is irresistible. So, if they flash hole cards or give better penetration, I may well share the wealth with them. We'll talk more about that next week. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a guest on the show, Richard Strafella, who is Vice President of Casino Operations at the Palms Casino. To start with, we're not going to ask him about the $1 million fine they had to pay recently. But I know a lot of listeners to the show play at the Palms. So if you want to suggest questions for Richard, please send us an email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Last week, I called in from home because I had cataract surgery earlier in the day. I wrote a column about the operation in my Las Vegas Advisor blog saying everything went well. I may have spoken a little bit too soon. A full week after surgery, the eye isn't quite where it should be. I don't know what the options are. I'll see my doctor tomorrow and we'll discuss. I'll keep you posted. All right.
So it looks like we have a little bit of extra time. So maybe we will surprise Ted with some ad-libbed questions.
Go for it.
Okay. Ted, in general, did you get most of your stuff from mailers or spending your points or by begging?
All three. I was shameless. I was a shameless comp whore. I took everything I could get, mailers, points, begging the pit for comps. But one thing you didn't mention is a lot of offers are online now, which if you get a BeConnected account, you can go to BeConnected.com. This is Boyd Gaming's loyalty program, if people don't know. And you can look at all your offers and book them online. Harrah's Total Rewards has the same system. So I think every Advantage player should not overlook that a lot of your offers will come online now these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can vouch for that. I play at Harrah's, and if you log into your account, there's just tons of offers, and I think they're for my level of play. I think they're pretty generous.
I would agree. Harrah's just given me multitudes of stuff over the years, and way more than I've given them. So they're one of the best.
I mean, I know lots of people who I would consider to be very low rollers that get free room offers for giving almost no play.
They're very generous with the rooms. They're probably the best for rooms in the city.
Now, well, they have more rooms.
Yeah.
They now you mentioned you play mostly video poker, but you play some table games. Which table games do you find best for comps?
I dabble in blackjack card counting, but it's very, very small percentage of my play. My favorite table game is Ultimate Texas Hold'em, which is a table game that was invented by Shuffle Master. And it's a poker-based game. The house advantage is very close to about half of 1%. So it's the same or better than most blackjack games. And if you play the optimal strategy, you give up very little of the house, and they comp it at a very high rate. So I've played a lot of that game. I've had a lot of success, and it's definitely my favorite table game to play.
Now, when you say half a percent, I have to chime in and say you're defining that as the expected loss to the average bet, including the raise, right?
Yeah, so what you would call the element of risk, yes. Which I think is the best metric for determining how much you get back in comps, right?
Yes, and it's very good for comparing one game to another.
Okay.
How about my own PyGow Tiles?
PyGow Tiles is a maddeningly confusing game to learn, and I don't think it's comped as well as maybe some other games, because it's so slow that the casino knows that they can't really make a ton of money on it. But it's definitely one of my favorite games to play. I haven't played it that much lately, but if you make the effort to learn it, I salute you, because that's a very tough game.
What about Crazy 4 Poker?
Never played it.
Now, that has a really easy strategy. I'm wondering if the casinos overcomp that as well.
It's just not as widely available as Ultimate, and I've just never made the effort to learn it for whatever reason.
So playing with a half percent advantage, even if you're getting free comps, free meals, and rooms, you're still losing money.
Yeah, so at a half percent, betting $5, I figure I'm losing, $5 or $6 an hour if they deal 38 hands an hour. It's such a small house edge to buck that, dealer makes one mistake or another player lets you bet on their hand when they haven't made the optimal raise, you can, the disadvantage is erased.
How often do those things happen?
More often than you would think.
Well, I don't have a thought on it. So
a
couple times an hour, more?
At least, yeah. And there's other opportunities that you can find. If you can find a dealer who's, maybe not paying as much attention to her game, you can take advantage of that. There's a lot of opportunities in the game.
So when you mention dealers not paying attention to the game, are you referring to hole carding or payment errors?
I'm referring to hole carding. I don't know if... how kosher that is to talk about, but it exists and people do take advantage of it.
Now, right. Michael has
including me.
I hope to take advantage of it if my cataract surgery works a little bit better when it finally gets into focus. I lost my train of thought.
So we're talking about your cataract surgery.
Yeah, well, no, actually, but I was going to ask him a question about
maybe we'll get back to it.
Maybe.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what can you expect to happen with cataract surgery?
Oh.
Is it like LASIK surgery, if you can make that comparison?
No, it's not. LASIK surgery affects the cornea, which is on the outside of the eye. Cataracts happen to the lens, and almost all of us get it as we get older. I'm now 65, and by the time someone is 75, it's something one doctor said 75% of people have it by the time they're 75. I don't know how scientific that was. So they replaced the whole lens with a plastic one. Plastic is, I'm using that word loosely. It is, there's several kinds. Some are monofocal, meaning it's good for seeing at a distance of either 2 feet for reading or distance. Some are multifocal. Some are better for astigmatism. Some are better for something else. So my first eye went really well. And the second one is getting better, but it's been a week and it's still not where I hoped it would be.
And this is not something I know much about, but when someone with normal healthy eyes changes their focus from short to far, what are they actually doing? Are there muscles in the eye that actually move the lens?
Well, there are definitely muscles in the eye, and you're getting beyond my level of knowledge here. Now, although Ted was on, he was a two-time Jeopardy answer winner, so he probably knows this.
I'm just wondering if there's any possibility for, you know, a kind of bionic eye where you could really catch the dealer's hole card.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
There are, you can make any focal length you want. So they could do that. And you could have it at a focal length of 3 feet. And there is a bit of guesswork into getting it all right. So I don't know that you want to. You only got two eyes. Most people get kind of nervous. Well, we're going to cut your lens out and put something else in there. Most people are a little bit nervous when they think about those kind of things.
Okay. Well, Ted, here's kind of a personal question. Is you're a recent law school graduate and a young, handsome guy. So how did you do on the dating scene while you were out there living off the casinos, or were you trying?
It's kind of tough to get a date when, you know, you're talking to a girl and, you know, you say, do you want to come back to the El Cortez? But, you know, I'm still single out here and still trying to date. And, you know, and now I have a place and hopefully living a more stable lifestyle. So, you know, hopefully that'll help.
Well, if I can play matchmaker to the single ladies listening out there, again, Ted can be reached at, his name is Teddy S. on my Wizard of Vegas forum. He's a very smart guy. You don't win Jeopardy twice if you're not. And
are you getting?
He's a really, really nice guy too.
I never thought of you as a pimp before, but are you getting a cut for this?
Well, hopefully he'll invite me to the wedding.
Well, that'll be good.
That's all I ask.
All right. So I'm sure that's the least of his things. All right. So you're now studying for your bar exam.
Yes.
That must be as much fun as studying for Jeopardy.
Oh, it's tons of fun.
How much time do you spend studying a day?
Not enough at this point. No, it's hard, especially with a full-time job.
And how do you study for the bar?
It's so many subjects are tested that you really have to just spend a little time on everything.
Are you reading textbooks or just memorizing stuff?
Looking at a lot of outlines. You got to distill the stuff. So, you know, looking at outlines helps, and there's various computer programs and stuff you can use, but it's a grind. Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you, Teddy.
Okay. Good
night.
Playing, Ted.
Go ahead. Lots of royal flushes, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and wizardofodds.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. Our sponsors are the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa, the Palms Casino Resort, the website videopoker.com, and the website wizardofodds.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.